Hey, everybody. Welcome to From the Arsenal. We're a brand new Flesh and Blood podcast. We got a big crew of people here for this one. So we're going to be taking our time this evening and doing an intro podcast for everyone's enjoyment. Get to kind of know everybody and their roles in the upcoming podcast. We're going to be trying to cover a lot of different areas of Flesh and Blood, from the, you know, the economy side to gameplay perspectives and strategy and all that good stuff. So I guess we'll just start this thing out by everybody giving a little intro on themselves and who you can expect to be following on here and what they like to play and what their history in gaming is. So I'm just going to start with myself because I'm talking and everybody gets to deal with it.
Seems good.
So my name is Chris. I have been playing competitive games for as long as I can remember, in card games, going back into like Wildstorms and DBZ and all that stuff in the early aughts. I took a long break and came back into it with Star Wars Destiny when I found the shop to play at now, Total Access Games. You'll get to hear more about them when Todd talks, I'm sure.
Shameless plug.
So after a good run in Destiny, FFG just killed it, just took it out back, put a bullet in its head. It's just, it's gone. There's no hope of resuscitation. We hoped for a while. It was still going for a while. And then they put another bullet in its head. And it's just gone.
Double tap.
So now I'm playing Flesh and Blood, which has been awesome. I'm really glad this came around because we were all looking for a game. Myself and a few other people on the podcast have been playing some Marvel Crisis Protocol for a while, which you may recognize me from because I also host the Turn Zero podcast. But Flesh and Blood has been great. I think we're all enjoying it. I prefer to play Ranger. That's the only thing I'm doing right now.
I'm sorry.
Ranger Constructed is my favorite way to play, a favorite class to play. But I think everybody here's got something a little different they like. So I'm just going to start passing around the table and get it to our guys who are remote right now. So next up, Brian.
All right, everybody. So once again, my name is Brian. I run a YouTube series called Opening Cases by the Numbers. The Cracked Bobble is the actual name of the channel. And what we do is pretty much opening up cases, take a look and, what's the best way to put it? Sort all the commons, rares, majestics, and give full-blown statistics on what we opened and what to expect play-wise or play-set-wise. How many mythics, how many super rares, things of that nature you can expect in the box, and some of the highlights of those openings. And I've been playing, I want to say, competitive card games since Magic the Gathering way back in the 90s. Got really, during pandemic world, not really much in terms of card play, and I didn't really like where Wizards was taking the game. A lot of different changes that just didn't add up. Seemed like they're trying to pump it for as much as they can. So I started looking for something else and ran into Flesh and Blood while I was cruising on YouTube channels. Liked the artwork. They're not pulling punches on that one. I mean, my God, what's like mangling things of that nature? I mean, that's a hole through that guy's head. Good yeah. I mean, you can't get that kind of artwork nowadays because you're going to piss too many people off. So that was the first thing that I saw. I was like, oh, sweet. Okay, well, let's take a look at the rest of the mechanics because, you know, the pictures are always the good ones first. You know, that's how you order stuff. Anyway, and I just it just kept going. Been going and going. I was like, all right, I'm going to stick with this and play. So I had purchased a whole bunch of the product and didn't have a place to play. And then I ran into Todd's store with Tag. And I was like, all right, so let's go ahead. And that's how I pretty much got into the group. And I've been here ever since. It's been great.
Shameless plug.
Number two.
What do you like to play, Brian?
That's a good point. So right now, because I am opening up a lot of different things, I like to try a lot of the different classes because I find the best way to understand how a class plays is by playing it, and, you know, playing against it to see what strengths and weaknesses are. I like Constructed and Blitz right now. I don't mind doing sealed drafts. I play everything. But right now I'm running Warrior for Constructed and either Ira or Mage for Blitz.
Nice.
On to you, Todd.
Oh, no, I'm going to wait. I'm going to go for plug
so three. So you're breaking the rules?
Yeah. No, okay. I'm going to break the rule. Like, we're going to change the rules right here in the middle.
All
right.
So you guys, plugs you can get before if you're listening now, you know that nothing matters. Mike, go ahead.
Yeah. So I got first into competitive gaming when it came to the Star Wars Decipher game, Star Wars CCG from by Decipher. That game died. So then I got into Marvel DC Versus. That game died, and then Wars came out, which was also by Decipher, and for some reason I got into that, That game died.
I'm starting to see a pattern.
Yeah. A slight pattern. So
why do you
keep
killing games?
You know, I got tired of games dying. So I got into 40K hard and spent my life savings.
So I died.
Yeah. I've missed card games and the CCG and that aspect of it. So I got into Magic because it's been around forever. And then I died again. And then Star Wars Destiny came out. And my goodness, I love that game. And FFG broke my heart like my Valentine's date did last year. And when that game died, I was out for the count. Didn't want to do it again. Got away from it all. And then my crack dealer, also known as Todd, told me about Flesh and Blood.
Where's he at?
Oh, he's at TAG, Total Access Games.
Interesting.
Here in Ashland, Virginia.
Highly not recommended.
So, no. So, Todd's like, just try this game. So, Todd gave me his ninja deck, was his Katsu deck, right?
Yeah.
Which was, you know, all foiled out, cold foils, looked pretty. Todd's like, here, just try this. And I played it, and I was playing against Bravo, I think it was.
Yeah. Danny
and his Bravo deck. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, Ninja has a bad matchup against this. And then I beat him. And then I was like, well, how much do I need to get in for this draft tonight? And then that was that. And now I am loving Flesh and Blood. It is, I think, a well-balanced game. I know some classes have jumped out ahead, but I think that when you play the sealed and draft aspect part of it, you can see how balanced things get. And then when you get into the constructed and blitz play, the game's not where it needs to be yet, which we all know is a very new game, but I'm liking the aspect of the game. Right now, my favorite decks are in Constructed. I play Dash. I know. Everyone's going to say, yeah, whatever, sell out. But no, it's just – Todd was like, Mike, you're going to like Dash. You should try that. I was like, all right, I'll try Dash. So I haven't even played it. I just started getting all the cards I needed for it. And then I was starting to build Wizard for my daughter because she wanted to play also. And I was like, you know, Wizard looks fun. So I started playing Wizard, and I'm loving some Wizard action too. So right now I'm playing CC. My Blitz is Wizard, and my Constructed CC is Dash.
Well, what is Mike? What are you actually doing here? Like, what's your role going to be? So we know Brian's going to be doing some video stuff and some case breaks. What are you actually doing?
I like to talk a lot.
Yes, I am the Jar Jar Banks of this podcast.
No, seems efficient.
I would have been. It would have been such a better thing if I wasn't ever there. I'm going to be doing a lot of hopefully recording some podcasts, but I'm going to concentrate a lot on doing TTS and getting some games going because I am extremely competitive. I'm nice about it, and if you beat me, you beat me, and I'll shake your hand. But, man, I am a competitive person. I love the competitive aspect about it, the crafting, the deck building. I hate what people call net decking. Like, I understand net decking. I like looking at net decks and then, all right, I can see what they're doing there, but I'm going to put my twist on it. And so I'm going to be doing a lot of that and playing a lot of different things on TTS. I was making fun of Chris about his Ranger build, but his Ranger build sounds phenomenal. So
we're going there.
If you all know for Turn Zero, but I want to do a lot of playtesting and trying out these decks. I also agree with Brian when he says that I learned the decks better by playing as them so that when I play against them, I know what they do and what to expect. So, like I said, my favorite decks are Dash and Wizard, but I'm going to try a lot of different stuff on TTS and putting all that stuff together for viewers to watch so they can get the same perspectives as I'm getting.
Yeah.
Do I have your permission to move on to the next person,
Todd? Well, yeah, I think now's a perfect segue right into Addison, right?
Addison, Todd said it's okay for you to talk, so why don't you go ahead?
Thank you, Todd. I appreciate that.
No problem, man. I got you.
Yeah. My name's Addison. I also play at TAG with these guys. Longtime Magic player. Been playing Magic since like 2009. So I guess not as long as some of these guys. But the first Zendikar was when I started playing Magic. And then when Todd opened TAG a couple years ago, it was right down the street from my house. So I went in there and I was like, oh, awesome. Somewhere, another place to play Magic. It's not so far away. Having to drive downtown. And then he got me hooked on Star Wars Destiny. So then I forgot all about Magic and started playing Destiny with these guys. And then, of course, FFG killed Destiny. And so then that was over. And that pissed me off, so I stopped playing cards for a little while. And then when Flesh and Blood came around, it was just like, Chad was like, you got to play this game. And I was like, nah, I'm good. And he was like, dude, you're going to like it. I'm like, all right. So I picked it up, and it's been, you know, it's been awesome ever since. And I spent all my money on it, so the, you know, I guess it's pretty good. I like to play Brute. I love Brute. It's, yeah, ever since I opened the Welcome deck and started playing Brute, everybody was like, this is the worst deck ever. I was like, I love this deck. I'm going to play it. But, you know, I love Brute, play Brute, but if I, when I play in events to win, I play Dash because Brute, unfortunately, has some bad matchups in our meta. But for Blitz, I love playing Brute, so I'm going to continue with that. And that's about it.
All right, which Brute are you playing? Are you playing KO or are you playing Reinhardt?
Yeah, in Blitz, I'm playing KO because, you know, I like to roll sixes. And so I'm going to keep...
if you roll sixes, it's pretty good.
I'm going to keep doing that.
Sorry, so I got to roll this dice this time.
And you're going to be jumping in doing some TTS stuff, right?
Yeah, Mike and I, I'm going to have a new computer built here soon, and so I'm hoping to get it all up and running and having some pretty high-quality TTS streams going where Mike and I get on and whoever get on and just play test decks. And hopefully, you know, if some viewers or listeners want to submit lists or whatever, I'll play those, and we can play those and do whatever they want. But we're going to play test everything. Obviously, when Monarch comes out, we'll start playtesting cards as they drop, I hope. So, we'll see.
That'd be awesome.
That's a good idea, Addison. I didn't even think about that, playtesting list that people are submitting.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is a new game. So, we're in a unique position where we get to play all the time. We play with each other every week, multiple times a week. And some people, because of the pandemic and the fact that they just don't have TTS or they're new to it or they're intimidated by it because TTS can get a little bit, you know, as you know, can be a little finicky. You know, if people want to, you know, brew lists and have us play them, I think it's a great idea to do that. And, you know, give them our feedback on what, you know, we think we would change and how we would
bring it back
and stuff like that. So
20 cracked bobbles and 30 blues.
Yes, exactly.
Make it happen.
I like it. Coming up with new stuff on the fly. This podcast is going places.
There you go.
Yeah, like just randomness.
Lane, I got the okay from Todd. If you want to go ahead.
Wait, I'm not ready.
There it is.
I'm not ready. All right, Lane, I'm ready.
Yeah. Okay, I can talk. Fantastic. All right. My name is Lane. I've played a bunch of card games over the years. I started out playing competitive Yu-Gi-Oh! Growing up until about the time I got to college. And then after college, transitioned into Magic the Gathering, which I played a bunch of opens over the U.S. You've probably seen me at events if you live in or around Virginia. Outside of Magic, I played Star Wars Destiny with these guys over the years. We did go to 2019 Worlds together for that, which was a really great event that I'm sure we'll talk about at some point on the podcast. We picked up Flesh and Blood recently as a new card game once that one ended, and I really like the game. It feels a lot like playing a limited Magic together, Magic Combat right there. So I think that's the aspect that I really like the game for. In terms of champions that I like right now, I'm really big fan of Dorinthea. I just think that she gives a lot of flexibility, specifically just the weapon Dawnblade. But I would play essentially whatever class I thought was best for the event that I was going to that weekend. I tend to be more of a competitive player. And unlike Mike, I typically will just play whatever the list is that is best. I don't try to make my own variant of it or anything. So right now I'm currently playing, I'm going to butcher this name, Huang Ti's list from, I think, the Malaysian or Taiwanese nationals there, whichever that first place list was. So... for Blitz, I'm playing Iroh, but it looks like Kano might be way better. I think Blitz is a pretty open format right now, though, and I think we'll actually see a lot here at the end of the month for that. So we're really just kind of waiting on some results to, you know, figure out where that format's going.
Based on the results of this last Blitz event, I thought we were all playing Wizard. Is that wrong?
Because I didn't win, that's
pretty
sure.
much.
Yeah. And Lane, what all are you going to be doing with us?
Yeah, so my plan here is to contribute to a bunch of the different aspects. So I can bring a lot of industry insight into it from both the marketing and selling perspectives, but I am at my core a competitive player. So when I'm talking about stuff, I'm typically going to be talking about it from a competitive aspect in terms of like, is this good in the metagame against the best decks? And is it something that, you know, we can bring to the next event or to events after that?
Right.
All good. Yeah, I guess Todd, go. Whatever.
Yeah. So I guess I'm the last one on the team, right?
You're last in my book, man.
I mean, I'm last in everybody's book, but I was first today, and that's what matters. All right. My name is Todd. I am one of the owners of Total Access Games here in Ashland, Virginia. My personal gaming experience started, over 20 years ago, before I had kids even. I played some Magic competitively, PTQs, open qualifiers, all of those shenanigans. I switched over to Star Wars, the Decipher CCG, played that on a world's level. I took a hiatus for quite a while due to kids and family and real life and yada yada.
Is that when you started your relationship with Tom Brady, or was that afterwards?
It was shortly thereafter.
Okay.
Yeah.
So about 96, 97.
Well, Tom Brady didn't come around until about 2001, but okay.
Todd, just so you guys know, looks a lot like Giselle with a beard.
Thanks, man. Thanks. I'll take that.
I drooled, dude.
Yeah, you did drool pretty bad.
Yeah. So evidently, I look a little bit like Giselle. Haven't been told that before. Maybe it's the hair.
I've been keeping it from you all this time. I didn't want to inflate your ego.
It might be the hair.
It's got to stop.
And so after that, I guess I got into some Star Wars Destiny. I did a little podcast, if any of you guys know Destiny. I did Knights of Ren. And from there, as that game ceased to exist, we moved into Marvel Crisis Protocol. Chris and myself do a podcast there called Turn Zero Gaming. And now Flesh and Blood is the new hotness. And we're super excited about this locally. And I got an awesome group of guys here. And I'm looking forward to doing some content. Planning on doing podcasts. Planning on helping out a little bit on the TTS stuff. And we'll see where else we can get in.
So what do you like to play?
Me. I like Constructed mostly. Limited is my favorite format, though. I like Draft and Sealed. I like the idea of building on a fly and having to make hard decisions. Favorite character? I lean towards Katsu, ninja-wise. I think Ira is pretty easy to pilot. That's why I like Katsu a little better personally. So for Constructed, I lean towards Katsu. I also like Ranger and Constructed. I'm not a big fan of Blitz right now. But, yeah, you can catch me in pretty much any other format.
Yeah, so we got a big crew. We got a lot of people with different levels of experience. All of us are familiar with card games. I think we're all going to be pitching in wherever we can. Some of us specialize in different areas. I think you'll catch us all on TTS at some point, for better or for worse. But most of us are pretty decent at it. So we got a lot of stuff to bring you guys. We're also going to be focusing a lot on putting up videos. I know there's a lot of people that like to watch stuff on YouTube, so we should have lots of games for you. Hopefully we can record some in-person tournaments. We're fortunate that Todd owns a shop that has product and is willing to put on some small events for us during COVID. You know, we're all masked up, but we're able to get some games in, which is nice. A lot of people don't have the luxury of live games, so we appreciate that. But yeah, we're planning to talk tournament results, hopefully some event prep as we get later into the season. Just lots of stuff out there. There's a lot of opportunity to get some good content out there, and I think we have a good group for it, so this should be fun. But I guess since we've introduced everybody, we could jump into – we got a little bit to talk about today.
Sure.
I know we were talking – we went and had dinner and drinks before the game. We were talking a little bit about the market side of things right now. So I don't know, Brian and Lane, you guys are kind of keyed into that, if anybody else has any input. But talk us through some of the stuff that's going on right now.
Yeah, so I think some of the bigger things that everybody's – that's on everybody's mind is like Crucible product. we only have the first edition Crucible products, and right now they're not making any Unlimited whatsoever. That doesn't mean they're not going to. It just means they haven't announced it yet. We got the first edition, I want to say, what, 3 or 4 months ago? Maybe somewhere around there?
Around that ballpark.
And immediately it sold out. I remember I had saw it for online when I was purchasing before I knew Todd for about $75 a box. And then all of a sudden, right before the pre-orders went out, it went to about $100 a box. I was like, whoa, what happened? So I went ahead and picked up a case of it. And right after that, when the product went live, it was already sold out. So that was the first stint of it. Found out later on after some more Unlimited product hit the market and Crucible was needed again that they were finishing up their first edition run and shipping it out the door. So we had some more product hit the market, but at that point, Flesh and Blood was in the target, you know, crosshairs for investors, collectors, and other and players all at the same time. So it's very difficult right now. The prices are they are high for a lot of the Crucible stuff, mainly, you know, playable cards that multiple classes need. And until they can get another print run going for at least Unlimited, or if they even do it, we're going to be short some cards and you're going to have to, you know, pick them up on the fly if you can at this point. And right now, boxes, I believe, are going about $550 to hopefully they were at $600. So they've been kind of fluctuating between those prices. In my opinion, I do believe that this, if they in the next couple of months, if they do not initialize another print run, that those are going to be right on par with the original editions, with WTR being about $4,000 right now for a first edition print. Arcane being 2,000 at this point, and Crucible will probably be around 1,000 at that point. That's just my opinion. The market's very, very crazy, but as they keep dumping more product onto eBay and TCG Player and some other places, those prices will still fluctuate. Once they open them up, they'll be gone, and that's when the bigger price spikes will happen.
Right. We're seeing a lot of volatility in the market in all three sets right now, but specifically for Crucible, which we're most concerned about. So Crucible contains staples for several major decks. Warrior, it's got staples for Mech. It's got staples for Runeblade. Any of those ones that were introduced in Arc definitely have cards that you absolutely need from Crucible. Now is probably the best time to get a lot of those cards because we're still seeing kind of a race to the bottom for a lot of the prices here. And we're seeing more product getting opened because more product is getting sold and opened while the prices are high. So people are trying to hit those Shyanas that are like almost $3,000 now, and they were $900 a month ago.
You know, well, so. I think the counter argument, and this comes from the shop side, right? I think the counter argument to that is that you're seeing a lot of these Majestic staples because, like you mentioned, there's staples for certain classes, but there's also filler pieces for the rest of the classes.
Yes.
And those prices were spiking 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, rares are pretty good too.
So your Majestic armor slots and stuff like that were spiking at almost 100 for non-cold foil versions.
Yeah.
And now you're starting to see them kind of settle back in around that 50-60 mark, like at least a price that feels sustainable for most players. Mm-hmm. And I think like you said, Lane, I think now is the time if you want to grab those cards before that hike happens, now's the time to get them.
Right. What you're seeing is one of the things that happens a lot in collectible card games like this, where you have a few cards in the set that end up soaking up like all of that value in the set as you open up more and more boxes. Like the hardest to find ones will just soak up all the value.
Right.
So you're seeing that with the Shyano, with the Findo Spring Tunic that every single class needs.
The cold foils also add a little extra layer to that as well. That
makes
it difficult.
Yeah,
they're an extra kick, right? Like those are the collectible investor value cards right there, right? Like those are the ones that people want to have to hold long-term value because that's the only print that they're going to get in that variant, which is driving the price down of the non-cold foil variants right now.
I don't think it's far enough down.
Yeah, surprisingly, that is, though, exactly what their goal was and their intent with the cold foils. So it's interesting that even though, you know, they didn't meet their goal of, you know, trying to get an unlimited print run out, they still we're able to kind of get people to open those boxes and drive the price down of those other cards.
Yeah, it's pretty genius when you actually sit back and look at it. Mm-hmm. Like the strategy they had behind the investor side and the player side, because like it still opens up value for both people, because as you want to grab those high value cards, you got to get away with a little bit less of a little bit more of the less valuable stuff that's giving the players what they want.
And as they come out with, hopefully if they ever do come out with the unlimited set, once again, the regular first edition ones that are not cold foil will hopefully go down in price as long as there's enough product out there. Now, it's not going to go all the way, you know, to the price of an unlimited.
Right.
However, it is still going to reduce it because there's the demand on it will, you know, subside a lot more because the players that need to get these pieces will have options.
Right.
And that's always the best thing for card games at times, especially since they're starting up and there's just not enough product in the shops right now to be able to take care of everybody so that everybody has access to it. So we'll see what happens in the future with it. Because I would really love to get myself an Arcanite Shard.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but to your point as well, we talk about Crucible right here. But if you really look at everything that's happening with the Unlimited prints right now, you're also seeing a recess in some of those prices as well. The past week or so, we've really seen I wouldn't say a super dramatic price decrease.
But I would say it's super dramatic.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you could argue that, right? Yeah. Like,
Command and Conquer's going for 100 now, back to like 60 or 50.
Yeah,
or
definitely argue the idea that, I mean, it's a substantial price decrease, but it feels like it's falling more in line with where you would expect it to be for a player, not so much for the investor, right? Yeah.
And I think that was a big thing. They were trying to a lot of people were trying to build their decks for it, so they were having to purchase multiples. And mm-hmm. hopefully the people that are playing right now purchased theirs, and so people that threw it up too late realized, oh, crap, there's no money here right now because everybody's either got their collection, they've already got their play. Now we need to reduce the price to get it out the door for people that are waiting.
I'll go one step further.
Okay.
I think if you're a player, mm-hmm. not a collector or not an investor, you can wait.
Yes, you can.
Because that second wave of this unlimited print is going to be coming out in another couple weeks. I'm a horrible business owner, by the way. I still think you can wait a couple of weeks till that next print run comes out, and those prices are going to subside a little bit more.
Yes, not in Crucible, though.
I'm not talking Crucible. Yeah. Yeah. I'm talking unlimited print runs.
Yes.
Most likely, we will actually see Crucible prices spike once the other ones are released, because then the people who, you know, are able to get their hands on these cards can go and build their decks, and then they go and buy more Crucible cards.
Yeah, right? then they'll need the Crucible stuff to finish up.
Exactly. Right. So. We just recently got two new players in the shop playing that never played it before, and they're like, oh, how do I get cards? Like,
well, you don't.
Well, we can help with you a little bit when it comes to Crucible.
Yeah, and that's a good thing about this group is we have a lot of people that are willing to help out and help with cards to get people started. So that's, thank God for Todd being able to hook people up with what they need for what they want to play.
Yeah.
Hopefully,
in about a week or two, we can actually start building some of these equipment builds for less than like $700, $800. Because right now, that is definitely a huge barrier of entry to the game.
You just got Mike excited.
Dude, I was looking at my KO, my wizard build, and I was like, man, I need $650 worth of equipment.
but the Striders.
That's a funny thing, though, right? Like, you came in and said that Friday, and then I was like, no, Mike, like, if you look at the prices in the past week,
they've dropped.
It's down to like $450.
Right.
And like, if you wait another couple weeks, it's probably down to like 200, maybe 3?
Yeah. Well, like we had a guy in today who, you know, we were drafting, and he pulled a Storm Striders. He didn't even need it, but he pulled it, and then he's like, yo, you need this? He just gave it to me. Gave me a Legendary.
All right, don't make people start coming over here for free cards,
No.
You're going to ruin James's collection.
I got to give James a shout-out, because, I mean, that's huge.
Mike's going to have to do something for those cards.
James is giving away all of his cards.
And I am down to do it.
I'm pretty sure Mike is down to do it.
No. But, yeah, I mean, that's huge. But that's how you build a community.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And that's what we're doing here. That's why we got some – I mean, that on prime nights when we were playing Destiny, we were getting almost up to 30 people every week.
We had nights over that weekly.
Yeah. And then, you know, and now here we are with Flesh and Blood. We're in the middle of a pandemic. It's a hard game for people to get product. And today, on a Sunday, we still pulled in 10.
Yeah.
Well, technically 11, but one set out. So yeah. We would have an odd number.
Yeah. Well, and we have a solid player base of 16 to 20.
Yes.
And any given week, because of COVID restrictions, we can pull 12 players pretty comfortably.
Right. And it's still growing. I mean, we're still getting people. So.
Yeah, we had new people signed up this week.
Two more today. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
and I only sat out today, by the way, because I didn't want to embarrass you guys.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense.
You gave me a chance to get a run in. Yeah. I hadn't had a chance to get a run in.
That's fine. We need to have some people get some new play mats. Oh, that's right. I've already won three. Damn.
Oh, I mean, you technically could have had a fourth, but I passed it.
You did.
Wow. Not all of us get to play with legendaries. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, I didn't play with any legendaries because it was draft.
Well, I'm going to segue into the next thing I wanted to talk about, which was today's event. We had a 10-person ARC draft kickoff today. We had 11 here. I sat out. I built some MVP models because I have more than one hobby. So how did that go for you guys?
You guys lead off.
Terrible. Let's never draft again.
Why, Lane? What happened, Lane?
Yeah, Lane, give us.
All right. So I played Runeblade, and that was a terrible, terrible decision. I'm pretty sure that Runeblade is actually just unplayable. And it's weird because I'm not sure why it's unplayable. Like, the deck feels great to play. And we had like super small pods, right? So we did two pods of five, which
two pods of five with 10 players. Yep.
Exactly. Yeah. So typically, we're used to like 8-person pods. Your decks are a little bit weaker,
right?
And that's what we play in Magic. So anybody who's a Magic player is more familiar with that. For 5-person pods, all of our decks were very powerful, right? So obviously, I felt like my deck was playable, multiple rares that I wanted that were like the same. So I'm not sure why it was bad. All I know is that it did not feel like I could win a game.
What did you play against?
So I played against Mech. I played against Wizard, which killed me on like turn three. And then I don't remember the third deck. Ranger. Yeah. Which, like, I'm so surprised I lost to Ranger. I actually couldn't believe it. But yeah, apparently Ranger's like actually playable.
Oh, in draft for sure. Yeah.
When I play it, it's playable.
I gave James advice and I was like, you probably don't want to play Ranger if you can avoid it because they seem to be the weakest, and then that's not true. So
I drafted Ranger.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember. I did play. I was one of the first mech that played against you, and you did smack me at least for, 12 damage on one of the swings because of all the tokens and everything.
Yeah.
I had to hold back, though, because I needed to swing back at you. It got down to, like, 1-1.
Yeah.
1 life to, like, 1 to life, it's 2 life or something to that nature.
This game, it feels like it's always that close, right? And I feel like if you're losing on the edge of the razor every single time, like 1-1 or 2-1, that's when you can really tell the differences. And it's hard to say, you know, how much of that is like my failure to actually pilot the deck well, and how much of it is just the deck is maybe not as powerful as some of the other stuff. And at the end of the day, I think it's probably some mixture of both. Because I know that in the other pod, there was another Runeblade drafter who went like 1-1-1. And I didn't get to watch those games, but it definitely feels like there's maybe something with just not being able to put out as much physical damage. Since so much of the equipment has Arcane Barrier built into it, it makes it a little easier to, I think, block all that damage at once.
So how many Runeblades did you have in your pod? How many people were scarfing your cards?
We just had the one.
Just one. Okay.
Well, that's the thing, though. That was also your first time playing Runeblade. And to be honest, I think Runeblade is one of the hardest ones. It's like, oh, this is my first time playing it? Let me try this.
It's pretty hard. It's pretty tough, yeah.
It can be, yes.
So. And we did have one person hate draft to become the Arc Knight after I did pass it for a different card that I wanted. Because I was like, oh, become the Arc Knight is literally only playable in this deck. There's nobody else playing it. It will go all the way back around. And then somebody just picked it up. In a hyper pod.
I mean, that just sounds like poor planning. Like,
maybe.
I love you, brother, but that just sounds like poor planning.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I didn't realize that we were in a like Tarmogoyf Pro Tour.
Mike, what'd you play?
So I drafted Ranger. I opened up my first pack, and I was sitting on a Tome of Aetherwind. And what's the majestic Ranger in that
Red and the Ledger.
Yeah, Red and the Ledger. Yeah. So I was sitting on Red and the Ledger and Tome of Aetherwind. I was like, well, I guess I'm playing either Ranger or Wizard. And I play a lot of Wizard and Blitz, so I just wanted to do something different. So I went Ranger. And my first game was against Dash, which was Todd, who was in his – he drafted Dash, and then in his third pack, he cracked the Induction Chamber. So I got to play against that round one. That was awesome.
I mean, it sounds like a good play.
It was. I mean, it's a good strategy. You draft the class, and then you crack the Majestic you want in your last pack. So
why didn't you just play Arc Smash against
so, them? Well, I wasn't playing Brute. That would be anyway. But but sensor. And then after playing round one and me telling Todd how to play Dash – because I'm a Dash player.
he did help you out.
He beat me by, I was down to two.
I was high.
He was at two life. I was at, and then, I went out. He went out when he was at two life and won.
Don't interrupt an enemy when he's making a mistake.
And then, but I built my Ranger deck to actually fatigue out. And I was actually able to fatigue my next two players. I played against another Ranger deck and I fatigued him. And then I played against Lane in his Runeblade deck. And he fatigued out against me, wasn't able to block out the last round. So
to be fair, I was on my last hand.
Yeah, I almost fatigued the Dash deck. So it was my strategy worked well, but Induction Chamber in a Dash deck is pretty gross because it's almost like you have a card advantage.
Yes,
because at 20 health, you can't take those twos like they're nothing. You know, and constructed, I was like, all right. Shoot me for two, I'll take it kind of thing. But when it comes to sealed and you're only sitting on 20 life, 15 if you're a wizard, those twos add up. And if you're sitting on an Induction Chamber and you're shooting for twice and able to load up, you pitch a three, you shoot twice, that's disgusting. And then you still have three cards in your hand that you play with. And if you're playing zeros and 60s and zipper hits, oh my goodness, it's gross. So I think Dash is, you know, if you get the Induction Chamber, it's hard to beat. But
yeah, Induction Chamber is a super rare, though. How likely are you to open an Induction Chamber in, like, an eight-person pod? Do you know that?
Yeah, I mean, so far, every time I've played Dash, it's been 100%.
100%.
We also had one in our pod, but it got hate drafted, but that's okay because I hate drafted the other guys.
Yeah. So, I mean, I like Ranger a lot. It's a fun deck. It definitely, like, it's one of those decks that you can actually block with three cards. And then on your turn, still shoot for four to five, maybe even six. If played properly with one card in your hand and one. So it seems, you know, like, I'm really, like, I was making, like I said, I made fun of Chris's and his Ranger constructed deck. But I'm really, I want to get my hands on it. What about you, Todd?
We got Brian.
How about you? Oh, yeah, we got to wait for you last. I got to save the worst for last. Go ahead, Brian.
I mean, yeah.
All right, so I started off my draft usually the way I do most of the time. I like to sit back a little bit and see what kind of classes are being played. I know I want to go into Mage in the beginning, but I didn't want to just go ahead and commit to Mage immediately because, once again, you're looking at a small format, and if you get enough cards with it, you can be dominant. But if you don't, you can get cut out pretty quickly. So I took a lot of generics and realized that mech was actually open. So I went ahead and shifted to that and was the only one in the pod. I ended up hate drafting a Sonic Boom from the other mage player. Thank God, because he hate drafted the Induction Chamber for me. So I couldn't do the same shenanigans that Todd was doing. So I had to be very, very careful with what, you know, this is the first time I've actually played Dash. So understanding the boost mechanic after playing against it enough, I knew that when you have a smaller deck, if you boost too much, you're going to fatigue yourself out just like that. I mean, instantaneously. So it became a challenge of let's get damage in immediately and get them low. And then at the late game, make some interesting pitch choices to get enough attack cards at the bottom so you can swing out with like four or five cards at one time so that you can get those last pieces of damage in because they have to block at that point. I'd had enough filler cards, including the mech boots, so that I could actually, you know, continue attacking even after, you know, going through all the boost cards. And that's actually helped me get over the hump on two of the matches because I was literally like one or two cards away from fatiguing. So that's a huge thing to know when you're going in. You need a lot of mech cards and you need to have them consistent. Otherwise, you're gonna draw dead when you need to boost, and that will mess up your whole turn if you don't, you know, spot what you're looking for.
Yeah, we were really close to that situation in the game that we played.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, we got to turns. I mean, it got down to my last turn, and I was able to, you know, and I forgot which card I had put in there because I had a generic and I had a met card. It's like, crap, yeah. Which one did I do? And I had to think it through because, you know, there's a chance that I was going to miss.
Yeah, with two cards in the list. Yes. And that was definitely one of the most interesting games that I played, because what I discovered specifically about the Runeblade deck, and what I think one of the interplays here of limited format is that you really need to draft cards that block for three.
Yes.
You draft cards that block for two, like blue reduce the rune chance, for instance, or some cards I had in my list. That was probably a terrible card that I should not have had in my limited deck, because blocking for two was just not good enough, even if it made a rune chance.
Yeah, and with the cards I was having access to, were, you know, swinging in for five and being able to possibly pump and be able to opt in the process. It hurt, because then you had to pitch multiple cards, and I would get you to a point where you were out of cards in your hand, or do I take the damage so I can at least start swinging back? That put you on the back heel, but it also put me in a situation where I could fatigue. I had one game where we did go to draw. I was swinging at another Runeblade deck. My second match was another Runeblade deck, and he just kept on blocking. We also went to time, but there was no way I was going to be able, if it had, you know, passed my turn, was to kill him, because I was down to two cards. I tried to stack it, and he was just able to block everything out. So once again, the induction chamber helps with that, because of the fact that you are able to get multiple attacks in that you may not be having to boost as much to be able to get damage through more consistently. And then they got to start thinking about, do I keep taking two? Because it's just two. It's just two damage. I have it's just two damage. You know,
I mean, I'll
just
go ahead and take
10% of your life.
And then all of a sudden, and then all of a sudden, you know, you get two more added. And by the time they plink away at you, now you're in, you know, zone to be killed, and they still have a whole deck of cards. So yeah, that was my experience. You know, I took third, having two wins and a tie, which is interesting, because for anybody that's out there listening, the mage player that I drafted from, he took second and he got two wins and a loss. So just because you have a draw still could mean basically a loss, and you will not, you know, get up high in the rankings that time. So be aware of that.
Yeah, he lost to me.
Yeah, my only loss was to you, Todd, and that's after
I didn't lose to anybody.
Well, I know you didn't lose to anybody, but I didn't play you.
No, I beat your mage player, though.
Oh, yeah, so that's probably where it came in.
That's after I showed up to play the deck, though.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate your contribution, sir.
I was there for you. I tried to take it home for you.
I'm just glad that the mechs had a good showing, because that's actually a very difficult deck to play in a Blitz format because of the fatigue.
Or limited, right?
The limited format. Yeah. I mean, it's just that you will fatigue very, very quickly if you don't pay attention to what you're doing.
Yeah, honestly, my approach to this was the same as yours. Mm-hmm. I wanted to start in generics. I had a mindset that I wanted to go mech. That was where I wanted to go, because I hadn't played it more than anything else. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, what's going to help me build into this out of these generics? So obviously, I'm looking for defense reactions and things that can give me go again. And Backstreet Beatdown is amazing in mech.
That's basically a mech card, right?
Yeah, like it's pretty much a mech card.
In limited, it's a mech card.
I had five of them.
That'll do it.
So on top of all my mech cards, I had five of those. So I had three non-mech cards, or cards that wouldn't give me go again.
Yeah, I think I had like Fate Foreseen.
Yeah.
So good defense reaction.
Yeah, so I had two Fate Foreseens, one Come and Fight, and five Backstreets.
But you boosted to Come and Fight every round.
All right, well, let's not talk about that, Mike.
Not everything's perfect. Hold on. Regardless of how you look at it, he still won.
Yeah. So
this happened.
But and I did get the induction chamber. The induction chamber was pretty good. I'm not gonna lie.
It's only slightly good.
Not gonna lie. Pretty good. And it definitely gave an advantage when I could lead from there. But yeah, like I played mech. I went hard on the boost. I ran a 35 card deck to try and keep from running into the fatigue as much. Yep. I almost fatigued out against Mike, but I was able to pull it out with an undefeated run. Running through two Rangers and James, the wizard player that you played that was undefeated up until the final round. So
I like to point out, though, with mech, which very interesting is just anybody that's not, has not played it before, mechs get to start with an item in play. So yeah. He gets induction chamber right off the get-go. So he doesn't have to hunt for it or he have to wait for it to pull. So that really does help him out or help a mech player out if they're able to get that. So anybody that gets out in the first turn, you have a chance at playing mech.
I feel, like I said, I feel like it's a full card advantage.
It is.
And when you're playing limited, it's... All right, well, I'd start with the induction chamber and have a full card advantage.
Because to get low, you know, you start cloaking them for two. They have to defend. And then you just come over the top with, you know, boost it, what is it, throttle and some other things, for five and six. Well, you better double block. Okay, that's your whole hand. Here's the last zipper hit. I mean,
if you're drafting, like, red overloops, and so they got to double block. Too. They got to pitch two cards and block an overloop so it doesn't cycle back through your deck. Mm-hmm. And then, okay, well.
That was the other one I prioritized was overloop.
Yeah, I'm gonna play an overloop. You got to block with two cards. Or this goes to the back of my deck, and then I'll finish off with two shots from my Teclo pistol. I mean, that's
huge.
Yeah, you only basically you pitch two cards to pay for everything, and you didn't lose anything unless they double blocked your overloop.
Yeah.
So
and that was actually I prioritize overloop from my games with Ranger in the prior drafts and limited. Where I prioritize salvage shot.
Salvage shot was so good for me.
That was a lesson I learned from my Ranger builds and those limited formats. And I was like, all right, well, overloop is pretty much salvage shot. It's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
I mean, we kind of learned that from playing WTR when we had Drones of Brutality. It's like, you got past that, especially if you're playing Brute, you got a red one. You're like, oh, here we go.
That's on par.
I think that's the big key takeaway for playing limited is if you get those cards that if they hit, they cycle back to your deck, you definitely play it. Because if they don't hit and you lose it, that's fine because that means your opponent had to block with two cards. So you still come out with a card advantage.
Yeah. So, well, and this goes all the way back. Like we talk about our inputs and where we come from in games we used to play in the past. This goes all the way back to our Star Wars CCG games.
Oh, man, the cipher. You had to stack your deck.
Yeah, anything where you could cycle stuff and plan for the late game was super imperative. And that's what happens in this game in those limited formats and even in Blitz, technically.
Yeah.
So, like, that's one of those mechanics that we take from 20 years of gaming that we try and apply to this to actually make some gameplay impact decisions, right?
Works, I had to skip a turn on my last one to make sure I could stack everything correctly so I could swing for lethal. Otherwise, I was sitting dead if I had swung all out first and then would have drawn in another.
Yeah, yeah.
So it would have been a wasted opportunity.
Yeah.
Well, Addison, I know you weren't here this time, but Dash won, so you're here in spirit. I'm preparing my Facebook post right as we speak.
I did it for you, Addison.
Thanks, man. I do love Dash. She's pretty good.
Yeah,
I hear she does the well in top tournaments.
I mean,
I I've won two tournaments with her, so I like her.
So
it's a bit harder for limited, but still.
I mean, typically for limited, you can still go get like a hyper driver or something, right? Because that's a common that you're pretty likely to see.
Or just
limited, I think hyper driver is not everyone's gonna get lucky and get that induction chamber, right?
Right. I mean,
that's what I had. I had the
But the hyper driver is a solid hit and limited.
So the hyper driver. For anybody listening, maybe that's new. Is that the one that allows you to gain a resource?
Yes. When you boost, you move a steam counter, gain a resource.
You can only do it once per turn. You have three counters on it to start with.
And you get a resource when you hit. Is that how that works?
No, it's only when you boost.
When you boost, you can remove a steam counter to gain a resource.
That's huge.
Yeah, especially when you're shooting and stuff. It's huge.
So. It basically gives you your resource if you want to fire your pistol off at the end. Yeah. So you boost, gain your resource, and then fire your pistol off. Mm-hmm.
In a lot of ways, it's like having like a freaking Finos tunic every turn or whatever. Like, it's not
at least for three turns.
Or sit on a Teclo core kind of thing. You know,
it's good. Actually, if you really think about it, I'd rather have that than a tunic.
Yes.
And limited.
Yes.
Because I can guarantee three resources off of that.
Yeah.
I can't guarantee
The tunic, you're going to get maybe one, maybe two. Resources off of it, and then a block out of it.
Yeah,
it does block for one though.
Yeah, you'll get a block out of it, but so you might get two resources out of it. You probably only get one.
Well, I'm just glad it's not in that set. The tunic.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Otherwise, that being, I'm well, start to call some people on it. Judge.
What's that other? What was that tunic that you draft? The chess piece you drafted? When one of your attack cards hit, gain two resources. Instant gain two resources.
This is how good of a podcaster you are. I don't know.
Was that this one?
The heart strap vest. What is it?
Yeah, that's WTR.
No, it's the vest out of
vest of the first.
Oh, okay, never mind. I'm thinking. Yeah, about, what is
the yeah? So I had
the barks.
I had the vest as well, so I got to put people in hard decision points.
Yeah, Todd had me many times. Like, I know what you're doing. I gotta block this completely because if I don't, you're gonna trigger your vest, get two resources, load up your induction chamber, load up your pistol, shoot me for two, give it a go again, boost again, and then I'm just gonna be madder than hell.
Did you have the boots too to go with?
I did not have the boots.
He didn't get the boots, okay.
But I had the vest, and the vest every turn threatened another two damage.
Yep.
And a reloaded induction chamber before the next turn.
So he didn't get it off against me because I was blocking like crap.
He did.
It changed my play against him every round to make sure that those certain cards didn't hit. Because like you would do it on an overloop. It's like, well, if that overloop hits, not only do you get to cycle, you get to trigger your vest, shoot me for another two, and load up your induction chamber. It's like, that is brutal.
Yeah.
Such a cheater.
See, it sounds like cheating.
I mean, it sounds like efficient play to me.
Yeah, it is. You have to be efficient. You have to be extremely efficient with dash.
Yeah.
And limit. That's just a thing. The most efficient plays will be the ones that come out on top.
No, it was a great deck. I hated to see it round one.
How many other players did you have that picked dash in your pod?
Just me.
So we had two dash players that were the only ones in the pod, and in our pod, that mage was the only one in his pod. So those three right there.
I think we had only one mage.
That's kind of interesting considering that we had two pods of five, and some people had to actually siphon off of it. It really came down to, let's take a look at what cards are being passed around and make a smart choice.
My pod was when I was drafting Ranger, I had another guy drafting Ranger, but he went heavy generics and then a few Ranger cards. When I played against him, I thought it was a bad idea until turn one he hit me for nine. I was like, oh, good God.
No.
It's like, well, I can't take nine. I only got 20.
That's a little excessive, sir.
That's actually true. I mean, when somebody swung me for nine, I'm like, all right, I take it. Like, then they just stop. Like, what in the heck do you have in your hand?
Yeah.
You know, because then it becomes, oh, shit.
the only reason I beat him, like, he drafted all generics and had a few Ranger cards. The only reason I beat him is I fatigued him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, he had me on the ropes.
You had the airs.
Yeah. So.
Well, Todd wins.
Damn it.
That's all I got to say about that.
Yeah. What? That's all I get?
I won my side event where I built models and had them fight each other. I was like, and then my guy won.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I feel pretty good.
I mean, that feels
good. Does anybody want to ask me any questions about my win?
Chris, how'd your game go?
It was great. Thanks, Mike.
You're welcome, sir.
I'm going to go take a nap now.
I really did well.
I'm pretty sure your opponent cheated.
No, there's no way.
Yeah.
He's a stand-up guy.
He's kind of a dick.
What?
He's kind of a dick.
Well, I guess we're going to end it there because I can't take any more bad-mouthing.
What are we going to use for our edit voices when people cuss on this one?
We're just letting it all hang out.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, there's no more editing anymore, so you can suck a dick, Mike Campbell.
Oh, I have to put my last name up in there. Now people know who I am.
Put his address and phone number up.
Ask the joke's on you, bro. I don't got no address.
I think we should. Got him.
Can't find that one.
There's a lot number or something around here.
I'm camping in the woods, bro.
Jesus.
No, but I mean, all right. So, I mean, I guess for everybody, like,
yeah,
a little snippet of what we're going to bring, right?
Exactly. And this is going to be a real free-flowing deal. If you've listened to our other podcast, you listen to Knights of Ren or
Turn
Zero podcast. It's a mixed bag. We're going to talk about whatever is going on during the week.
Yeah.
But usually it's going to be phenomenal.
Exactly.
Jesus, Mike is back.
We're not going to have all
missed me.
Six or seven people on every night. We're going to be rotating through people. We're going to be talking about different things, what happened in the week, what's going on in the bigger community, that kind of stuff. So don't expect to hear the same thing every time. It's going to be fun and interesting. We want it to feel like you're just here hanging out with us. So it's going to be a lot of shop talk and BSing. And,
yeah.
What are we playing next Sunday, Todd?
Next Sunday is Blitz.
Boo.
Are you just saying that because you play Ranger?
Hold on, we got to get people in the game, and some people don't have a lot of cards.
Boo.
So you don't want more players.
Boo hiss. I'm not playing either. But
if there's more players, that means there's more people that are going to beat me. So
that's fine. I'm going to come by all
now,
the
Guardians. That's the spirit. That's the competitive spirit. If I keep it really low, I'm sure to
I'm
get
sure
there.
I'll get a win eventually.
I mean, if it's only four people, you guarantee top four.
Ooh. I mean, I'm just saying.
It sounds like there'll be four people.
That sounds like my kind of it.
let's go a little higher than four. Come on, guys. I got a shop to
fucking
keep
going.
You're selling
product
like crazy.
So.
What are you talking about? In singles.
Oh, I'll be there.
All right, so that's going to wrap us up for today. But before we go, I just wanted to talk a little bit about where you're going to be able to find us, since we're going to be kind of out in the wild initially. So we have the podcast every other week. We just talked about that a little bit. So starting, what is this coming week? I don't even know the date, and I don't have a calendar handy. So it's the 17th today.
Today's the day Brady beats the Saints.
So it's June 17th.
This should come out around the 20th, 21st. This is going to be a complete mess to edit. So you might have to give me another day or two. We got like three tracks from five different people. So this should be coming out the 20th, 21st. We aim for Wednesdays every other week. So the 20th and then the 20th, and then the 3rd, I'm sorry. And then every other week going forward. We put everything on our Facebook page. That's going to be the place that you can find us first. Just look us up from the Arsenal. We'll probably also link it through the Turn Zero Facebook page. If anybody's kind of cross-pollinating so people can find this. We will also be setting up a Discord where people can come and chat. At the end of our episodes, we like to do listener questions. There's going to be a place for people that can ask us questions, things you want to know. Can be as simple as what's your favorite color to what's the best way to sideboard.
I'm going to go ahead and answer that now and say purple.
You took purple from us, man.
I love purple.
All right. So we'll have that all set up. We will also be starting a Patreon for this podcast.
Oh, shit. Give me money.
No, not like that. Why? What? You just ruined the whole thing.
All right. My bad.
We will not be restricting any content from anybody from this.
Except Mike.
Damn.
Mike will be a separate track. We'll add him in later if we get enough money. No.
He's a DLC.
This is purely for tips. If you guys want to help us out,
just a tip.
We want to get some recording equipment
tip.
Going. Just
only fans get off here.
Just to make sure that we can record case openings and tournaments in the store and stuff like that. You know, anything you can think of, we would appreciate the assistance. So we're going to go ahead and open that up. The other major content piece besides the podcast is going to be TTS. Addison, if you want to talk a little bit about that and our streaming setup.
Yeah, so a couple times a week, we're going to get together a pair of us or four of us, you know, a room, something like that. And we're going to record some TTS games. We're going to go through matchups, Blitz, Cuss, Constructed, playing Dash against Guardian, you know, whatever you want to see, whatever we want to test, try to find out, you know, the inner workings of all that stuff. And so that's what we'll be doing. It will be in the Discord if you want to. I'm Shefferton in the Discord. I play a lot of TTS with, you know, now I'm in the league on TTS for the official Fab Discord. So anytime you want to get a game, just hit me up, shoot me a DM. I'm always down to play. And then we're going to try to do, you know, different matchups, sideboard guides, stuff like that. So anything and everything is forthcoming.
And those will be getting streamed through the tag Twitch stream, which is www.twitch.tv/xchazux, which is X-C-H-A-Z-U-X.
It'll be in the links.
It'll be in the links.
How to spell it.
You don't have to remember that now. Every week on Facebook, we'll be putting together like a content roundup with all the different stuff we've done during the week, as well as attaching the podcast to it. So you'll be able to find all this stuff. Beyond TTS games and the stream, we'll also be putting these games up on YouTube. If you can't catch them live, we will have our own YouTube channel from the Arsenal, but we'll also be integrating it with Brian's, if you want to talk about that.
Yeah, so we want to make sure that we get maximum exposure between all the different podcasts and Facebook pages and YouTube videos. So once again, mine is The Cracked Bobble. Right now, we only have about two videos up there, but we are looking to link all of this stuff together into each channel. So I'll have playlists for the podcast, hopefully, and also with the TTS games that we have, also with it being streamed in the store. So no matter where you go, you should be able to find links to other content that you might be looking for if one of our content is not what you are looking for. So lots of good stuff there.
And I guess, I mean, the only thing I'll add to that is I'm planning on doing case and box openings. On top of the stuff that you're doing, Brian,
yeah.
I'm planning on trying to stream live events from the shop. And I'm planning on trying to whoop Addison's ass on TTS.
Please, big plan.
You can find those videos on Mike's Pornhub channel.
Jesus. Oh, God, are we going to Mike's Pornhub again?
Yeah, that's for only the ass-beating videos go on Mike's Pornhub channel.
Pretty sure those will get more views than some of the other stuff.
Yeah.
I'm a star in those videos.
with titles such as Bearded Man Gets Pounded. Brute Gets Pummeled.
If God actually becomes Giselle, then we'll actually be okay with that. I'll be fine.
You know what? I'm good with this. I'm so in. I've been trying to get this Pornhub channel started for Mike for a while.
Well, you just got to give it the right name.
I mean, I think we got it figured out.
I mean, you can go out. Try two ass cracks. That's what I've got now. Accident.
Well, we'll call it Arc Smash My Ass.
Arc Smash My Ass.
That, there you go. Arc Smash My Ass. Arc Smash My Ass. There you go.
I mean, our title kind of works for Pornhub because we can do it from the arse.
Yeah, from the arse.
Ooh, there you go.
So, like, we've kind of built this all in. We've got it built in.
Maximizing the revenue streams. And maybe crossing the streams, depending on what the content on my channel.
There's definitely some of that going on.
Crossing streams, is that like a peeing contest?
So. All right.
It's degrading.
Now you've ruined it.
I ruined it.
It was fun when it was innuendo.
Never mind, Arg smashed my ass, but I ruined it with me crossing streams from peeing.
That can be taken many different ways, but your pee can't be.
The problem is you asked the question.
Ah, I see what you did.
Anyway, so you ruined
the mystery.
My bad.
Yeah, it's more exciting when there's mystery.
I'll remember next time.
That's when you can tell how degenerate somebody is thinking, because they just say, really, it's the... No.
God, what have I committed to here?
Yeah, that's right, Lane. What have you committed to?
Well, welcome to our podcast, Lane.
You got to be the content censor on the Pornhub channel, so.
Good luck.
A lot of beeping on that.
All right, and we're out.
Peace.
Deuces. See you on Arg Smash My Ass.